Today's guest on Medio Scientifics, The Business of LoRaWAN, is Dr. Matthew Patrick, a physicist, data scientist, and a longtime contributor to the Helium ecosystem, whose work spans LoRaWAN, Meshtastic, and some truly unconventional deployments, including high-altitude balloons and experimental satellite concepts. In this conversation, we dig into a question that comes up more and more in the community. If Meshtastic exists, why do we still need LoRaWAN? Matthew breaks down the fundamental architectural differences between the two, where each one excels, and why they're often misunderstood as competing technologies rather than complementary tools. We also explore real-world trade-offs around scale, battery life, and infrastructure, and then get into some forward-looking ideas like bridging Meshtastic and LoRaWAN for remote sensor deployments, and even using LoRa-based networks in stratospheric and orbital projects. This episode is sponsored by the Helium Foundation and is dedicated to spreading knowledge about LoRaWAN. You can use the publicly available Global LoRaWAN discussed in this episode through the Medio Scientific Console. To try it yourself, visit metsci.show/console. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Dr. Matthew Patrick. Dr. Matthew Patrick, welcome to the show, dog.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I'm psyched to talk to you. Every time I talk to you, A, I learn something, and B, I am reminded of how well someone can teach something. So I'm super excited for you to come on here today and teach us a little bit about this Meshtastic versus Helium business. Thank you for making the time.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. So basically what I wanted to talk about today was, this comes off of a talk that I gave at the Helium IoT Working Group a couple of weeks back. And it stemmed out of a couple of conversations which I see happening in the community more and more. And basically the frame of the conversation is something along the lines of, okay, we have this new project. It's an open source project. It's called Meshtastic. Why do we care about LoRaWAN anymore? And I think for a lot of reasons, I see why people start thinking this way. And I think that fundamentally, it's a little bit misguided. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to go through a couple of examples of why different LoRa-based technologies, they can solve similar problems to what LoRaWAN solves, but it's not always exactly the same thing. And in this case in particular, there are drastically different use cases that they cover. There's also an opportunity for some overlap here and some cool projects. But at the end of the day, it's important to know, you know, if all you have is a hammer, right, everything looks like a nail. So it's important to know right tool for the right job. For anyone in the audience who's not familiar, if you've been following Nick's podcast, you know all about LoRaWAN, all about the industrial applications, that at the end of the day, its most basic level, what LoRaWAN is really about is enabling order of magnitude thousands of sensors to communicate using very low power over very long distances and send infrequent small amounts of data to the internet. So we're talking things like temperature sensors, trackers, impact sensors, that kind of thing. The design of LoRaWAN has always been from the beginning to enable these industrial use cases. And it predates Meshtastic by quite a bit. So what Meshtastic is, on the other hand, is it's relatively new. So we're talking maybe 5 years ago or so to the first real betas starting to come out. Personal messaging, it's not really a service. It's an open source firmware and software and some devices that you can use to shoot text messages back and forth over the same physical radio that the LoRaWAN sensors use. And I think this is fundamentally where a lot of the confusion can come in, because the devices that you'd use when you're learning about LoRaWAN are oftentimes either similar to or literally identical to some of the supported devices that are used by the Meshtastic project. And what Meshtastic's original mission was to go and say, okay, we've got maybe 5 guys, 10 guys who are going skiing or hiking or paragliding or anything like that. And we want to make it so that they don't have to carry around walkie-talkies. We want to be able to make it so they can send short text messages, including tactical information like positions in particular, but also maybe sensor data, and text back and forth without any underlying infrastructure. And in order to accomplish this, they use what's a mesh algorithm, basically, where every node on the network, so every device that those 5 guys would have, it can receive and it can transmit packets. And if you've got a situation where you've got, say, 2 people who want to communicate, but they don't have a line of sight to each other, maybe there's a hill in between or something, what Meshtastic does is it bounces the signal off any available intermediary node to get from A to B. And it does this really well. This is the critical difference between Meshtastic and LoRaWAN. In LoRaWAN, we have these things called gateways, which are these big radios. They're connected directly to the internet most of the time anyway, and they suck in all the packets that they can receive concurrently across multiple channels. There is no relaying packets. The intention is that you send one from your sensor, it goes straight to the internet, done. Sensor goes back to sleep. This is done for two reasons. The first is to conserve battery life. You can't have, in LoRaWAN anyway, a whole bunch of sensors that are just on all the time. The point is normally that you want to put a battery in the thing, and then that's the battery for the lifetime of the device, or at the very least, it's changed rarely. The second part is that in LoRaWAN, the focus is really on industrial applications. So we're talking like a warehouse that needs to track 1,000 assets, that kind of thing. Every gateway needs to be able to service just an absolute ton of devices. And in order to do this, you don't have this kind of inter-packet relay going on that you have in Meshtastic. The real limitation of a mesh system is that at the end of the day, most of the devices have to be on most of the time because they need to listen to relay the packets. This is absolutely perfect if you've got, you know, a scenario like I outlined where you've got people who are hiking and they're just going to have something in their pocket, which is going to be on all day, and then they'll recharge it or change the batteries at night. No problem. When we've got devices that need to be in the field for a super long amount of time, like years even, you can't do this. And the increase in range that you get is outweighed by the decrease in battery life. So there's kind of a trade-off here. There's one other really critical, important difference, which is, you know, I mentioned that LoRaWAN serves thousands of devices concurrently. Meshtastic, the big mesh infrastructure projects that people have been setting up in their cities, which are super cool, by the way. Anyone who's interested, I absolutely encourage you to take a look at some of the various open source Meshtastic maps that people have been putting up. The Bay Area has an amazing, like, multiple hundred node system, and they're using different channels. It's super cool stuff. But the reason that they're using different channels is because after you hit about 100 devices or 200 devices or so, the mesh network starts to fall over because people are just talking over each other all the time. You can picture being in a crowded room. If you've got 10 people in there, it's not so bad to pick out different parts of the conversation if people are speaking up all the time. But if you go into a place and there's like 100 or 1,000, if you don't have some way to coordinate that traffic, it just, none of it gets through. So the magic number for Meshtastic is around 100. For LoRaWAN, because of the fundamentally different design, sits at around 1,000. Those are the two main key differences between the technologies that I wanted to kind of bring forward. That being said, there are some overlaps. There's some definite overlaps between the two projects. One of them is that the hardware is nearly identical. Gateways notwithstanding, a piece of node hardware. If you're familiar with LoRaWAN and you want to explore Meshtastic, probably 90% of the time, you're going to be able just to drop the Meshtastic firmware straight onto that thing and have it work. Check out meshtastic.org for a list of the supported targets. The radio is the same, so it's really just a software difference. The other thing that I was hoping we could maybe talk a bit about was how you build effective bridges between, you know, these two communities. They have pretty different interests, but they use the same hardware. And I've found personally that they attract a similar like-minded crowd of people, right? Your radio enthusiasts, you're less on the industrial side for Meshtastic, of course, but the people who are interested in one tend to be interested in the other. And I'd be super, super interested in your perspective on how you could maybe, like from a community perspective, how we could bring more of these guys together instead of this perception that we're fighting against each other.
Yeah, I do see at first glance that there's like, oh, Meshtastic is better than LoRaWAN, or LoRaWAN is better than, like, it's just a, maybe what is really needed is more conversations like this where we say, hey, there's horses for courses, there's tools for jobs. And in some places, if you don't have LoRaWAN coverage and you're going backcountry skiing and you want to talk to your five buddies, don't bother with the LoRaWAN. You know, if you're on the factory floor, we don't really need Meshtastic there. Can you walk me through a couple of these bridge ideas that you've talked about in the past?
Yeah, sure thing. I'd be happy to. So one of them, and I think this is maybe the most low-hanging fruit, is remote sensor deployments like weather stations. So one of the really cool applications of LoRaWAN that I'm most familiar with is you've got maybe an agricultural operation, a farm or something, or you've got a bunch of sensors of some description. Weather is a great example. You put them in a super, super remote location where there is no internet nearby. Most of the time, this is fine. If you use a network like Helium, which has incredible LoRaWAN coverage, odds are you're going to hit a gateway. But if you're in a situation where you can't, then things get exponentially more complicated really quick. You've got to find a way to get that traffic off of RF and to the internet. And Meshtastic can be really useful for this because the nodes are so low power, generally speaking, that you can put a really cheap node with a really small solar panel in the vicinity of your sensor, like say on the top of a nearby mountain or a nearby hill or a building, and relay that traffic using Meshtastic. And one of the things I think could be really useful is if we could have a bridge that could receive Meshtastic packets and say, hey, I got all these mesh packets. Here they are from your sensors. Can I send that off over to a LoRaWAN gateway to get it to the internet? Meshtastic is out of the box, not 100% optimized for this kind of internet-based traffic. They use an MQTT server, but the traffic is largely unencrypted or essentially unencrypted since everybody shares the same key on the public channel. It ultimately can go off to the internet, but a lot of the nodes have configured themselves to either not do that or to do it uplink only, which is a real difference between the LoRaWAN infrastructure that, while it doesn't have an SLA or anything, is designed to do bidirectional traffic to the internet. So I think it could be really interesting if we could have a way to build LoRaWAN gateways that could receive Meshtastic packets so that if you're in one of these situations where you don't have a perfect line of sight to a sensor, you could maybe use this intermediary hop in order to get where you need to go. That's one of them. And the second one, and this touches a little bit on a talk that I gave to the IoT working group a few weeks back, is LoRaWAN networks are growing and they have this incredible global reach and they're all in the unlicensed bands. And there's this incredible opportunity now brought on by companies like SpaceX to do satellite projects, which are inherently risky and expensive, but the price has been coming down so much over the last few years, it's not even funny. There's a whole community of people who do LoRa-based satellites using basically the ham radio frequencies on LoRa point-to-point. Project name is tinygs.com. It's for Tiny Ground Station. It's really cool. And what this community has done is they've set up a bunch of receivers using LoRa hardware, same kind of hardware as you use on Meshtastic or for a LoRaWAN node. But all that they do is they receive packets from these low Earth orbit satellites people have sent up, and then they relay them to the internet. Now, what I think would be really cool and what could be an interesting opportunity to bridge these two worlds is if you had a satellite project that implemented some version of Meshtastic. Right now, aside from one or two long shot commercial operations, Lacuna Space is one of them. Swarm was before they bought out by SpaceX. I don't know if it's still operating. The satellite constellations that use LoRa are either amateur satellites that beacon only, or they're these commercial things that haven't fully been implemented yet. I think it'd be really cool if you could build a Meshtastic satellite that could relay traffic, but use LoRaWAN for the distributed ground station for the downlink. And I'm working in the background on maybe getting a project like that off the ground. I'm really excited about it.
For listeners who might also be excited about that, is there a good way for them to reach out and contact you?
Absolutely. So you can find me on the Helium Twitter. I'm a member of the IoT working group. Usually I'm hanging out on Discord. You can always find me on Nick Hawk's Gristle King's Discord. Name is Star Watcher. Goes way back to my Helium days. You can ping me over there. And if you see one of my testing high altitude balloon projects, beaconing weird things over Meshtastic in different countries, then that's probably me too.
Yeah, I probably should have started this off, but I always get so excited just to basically listen to you talk. Tell me a little bit about the Helium or the LoRaWAN and Meshtastic work that you've done.
So basically my background way back in the day was I did a lot of space physics research using high altitude balloons. So stratospheric balloons that you would send up. And then we would take X-ray pictures of the northern lights. And my research was on mapping out basically the number of watts and the number of particles that come in and swirl around in the northern lights over Canada, where I live. The way I got involved in LoRaWAN was that we needed a downlink system for all of these balloons. It's incredibly difficult. These things can fly for days. They can cover hundreds of kilometers. It's a challenge. And what we were doing way back was we were paying hundreds of dollars every single flight to use an Iridium satellite modem in order to basically make a phone call, like an analog phone call, and send data over it, which worked, it functioned, but more than half the power budget for this thing was taken up by that Iridium satellite modem. It drew, you know, at around 5 volts, easily a couple of amps steady state. And so the whole payload was just lined with batteries, which were just to power this modem. And then I found, and this was maybe around 2020 when things really started taking off, I found this project called Helium, which was LoRaWAN, and I hadn't heard of that before. And I bought this board off of Amazon. I think it was a TTGO T-Beam or something, one of the ESP32 LoRa boards everyone uses.
Yep.
And I was sending packets immediately over like tens of kilometers within the city because the infrastructure had been set up for it. And it cost pennies. So we switched over all of our flights to these things, saved a ton of mass, really simplified the whole operation and saved a ton of cost as well, just by using these LoRa radios and these distributed ground stations. So that's kind of how it all got started for me. And then I took some of that experience and spent some years working for Helium, now Nova Labs, helping them build out their infrastructure and do the data science associated with that. The Meshtastic stuff came a little bit later. I was sitting and having lunch with an engineering friend of mine one day, and we said, is there any reason that we couldn't have the equivalent of a small satellite either running LoRaWAN or running Meshtastic that sits at a constant altitude and just goes around and around and around the world? There are ways that you can set these balloons up so that you don't generally get them back, but you can park them at 15 or so kilometers and they sit in the jet stream. And it turns out that this totally works. So I threw together a tiny Meshtastic node that was solar powered and put it on, it's called a super pressure balloon. It's basically a take on a weather balloon that it stops rising past a certain point. So it doesn't just go up, burst, and then land, and you pick the thing up off the ground. It gets stuck. It's a little tricky to pull off, a lot of variables to get exactly right. But when you do it, I think the record right now is the guy's got one that's been going around the world for over a year now. It's on its like 30th lap, which is crazy.
That's amazing.
My Meshtastic one, we had launched it and it was so disappointing. I was absolutely crushed by this because this thing was so hard to build. Flight looked great and then the antenna broke off right after it got off the ground.
And you can't get it back. You can't be like,
you can't get it back. You get one chance at this. So I tracked it for maybe 20, 30 kilometers or so and then didn't receive the signal. I thought, well, that's a wrap. And what am I going to do now, right? But 2 weeks later, I get a random message from somebody on Reddit, and they said, I don't understand this. There's this balloon with this weird name, and I think I called it Kirby 3, Kirby the Pokemon. It just seemed to fit.
Okay.
Needed a call sign for the thing. It was over the UK, and they had just received this random packet in the middle of the UK on the right frequency, and it was relaying packets from all over the place there. It was crazy because I found this threat and I said, my God, this is something that I set off weeks ago and you're telling me it actually survived, it actually worked, and it did. Even with a busted antenna, someone was able to pick it up, which kind of got me thinking, if that little experiment worked so well, I wondered whether it would be possible to send more of these things. Like you could imagine sending 10 or 20 of them, they're not very expensive. And trying to set them.
What's the price of that thing?
All in, I mean, including the balloon is cheap. You get these things for $2.50 from Alibaba these days. So little balloons are nothing. Board was a Raspberry Pi Pico, and then any off-the-shelf LoRa chip, you know, $5-$10. The tricky part was the firmware. So as this thing goes around the world, right, it crosses different LoRa regions. And so you need to be smart about setting your frequency to the new one that you show up in based on the GPS. But once you've got that down, it seems to work really well.
And so have you sent up another one or no? It was just too tricky to do it the second time. We just haven't gotten to it.
I have sent up two since then and neither of them has worked. And I am 90% sure it's because I switched to using a different LoRa chip without a temperature compensated oscillator and I think it froze. But we're going to go back to the old design and see whether we can get this working with the new iteration of Meshtastic. And for this project in particular, what I'd love to do is have two modes where the device boots up. When it gets some sun on the solar panels, it can be a Meshtastic repeater, but send the downlink telemetry over LoRaWAN. You know, use all of those base stations, just like I did in the past, to track it, and then maybe put it on a community map or something so that people would know where these things are, whether they could connect to them.
And they're up at 15 kilometers high, so it's 15,000 meters. Let's see. And planes are flying at 35,000 feet, which is 10,000 meters. So these are well above where planes are flying generally.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the main concerns when you're doing ballooning stuff, right? it's worth spending a couple minutes on that. Back in the day when we were flying these with those Iridium modems, these things weighed kilograms, and it doesn't matter where they are in the sky. You've got to make sure that the airplanes know where they are and how to avoid them. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about LoRa and LoRaWAN is how miniaturized you can make everything. The total mass of that one that I sent that worked was less than 10 grams. All in.
What?
Absolutely, like negligible payload mass. You build these things stupid light so that you can hit that equilibrium where that balloon doesn't pop. So it's really, think of releasing a party balloon. That's more than what this thing is.
I think the other thing is, and this may help, is I've been looking at these AR VR glasses. I ordered a pair of these Mentra glasses. They got the camera and the microphone in them, and they're saying they're 49 grams. So I weighed my regular glasses that I wear, and they were 29 grams. And the way you're telling me is that this thing that's doing all of this messaging as it travels around the world weighs less than a third of a pair of eyeglasses.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the hardest part. You've got to get the software right, but also the hardware can weigh almost nothing if you're going to do this long duration flight. So the risk of these things is very, very low. And the amateur radio guys have been doing this for years, and there's never really been an incident. Except for one.
Yeah, I haven't taken down a jetliner yet.
There's never been a cause of you know, slamming into an airplane or anything like that. But one was shot down, and I actually knew the guy who had that happen. So the amateur radio term for these things is a pico balloon. It's just the canonical term people have invented for it. This thing is made of mylar, which has this metallic aluminum coating on it. So they're not impossible to see via radar. And if anyone in the audience remembers, a couple of years back, there was this really cool Chinese spy balloon. It wasn't really a hoax. It was something that was actually happening. So right off the tail of that, there was this immense intrigue, not really paranoia, but I call it intrigue over, you know, mysterious balloons showing up in the middle of nowhere. And there was this one, it was a ham radio version of this. It was sending telemetry out over just HF, just tracking where it was. Flew over northern Saskatchewan, I believe it was, one of the Canadian provinces, middle of nowhere. And somebody picked this up on radar. And the U.S. sent an F-22 Raptor up to shoot this thing down with Sidewinder. And they did. And
that's America,
the way that this was figured out was that, exactly, the way that this was figured out was that this guy was in our Pico Ballooning Group's IO channel, and he said, hey guys, something really weird happened. Like, it was working great. It was the middle of the day, and then here's where the last telemetry was. And then someone just posts a copy of the news article that shows the X marks the spot where this airplane was that shot the thing down. I think we probably used maybe a $400,000 missile or something to blow up a ham radio balloon that may have cost the guy, you know, in total 10 or 20 bucks.
That sounds like America. That is how we conduct warfare.
Can you imagine working as, you know, a pilot, I guess, in the military? This is a completely different world than I live in. And getting that call, it's like, we needed to go and take care of a UFO. Go and shoot the thing.
Yeah, sling some missiles at it.
Exactly.
There are worse things to do, I guess.
No kidding.
Doug, well, thanks so much for coming on. It's always awesome to hear you. It's easy to get off on these tangents, and I know we're going to talk some more balloons offline here, but thanks a ton for coming on and kind of clearing up the Meshtastic versus LoRaWAN debate. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, of course. Always a pleasure, Nick.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. If you want to go deeper and actually deploy devices, the Medio Scientific Console is the fastest way to do that. And honestly, it's also the best way to support the show. When you use the console, you're not just listening, you're participating in the same real-world LoRaWAN work we talk about here every week. You can get started with a free trial at medioscientific.com. Huge thanks to the sponsor of this show, the Helium Foundation, for supporting open LoRaWAN infrastructure worldwide. Check them out at helium.foundation. And if the show's been useful, a quick rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this really helps people find it and helps the show grow so we can help more people. I'm Nick Hawks with Medio Scientific. I'll catch you on the next episode.